before he was crucified, before his return to glory, and he instructed them about his death, about his sacrifice, about going to the Father, about their ministry. John 13, you remember he arose from supper and girded himself with a towel and washed their feet. He talked to them about two things, about loving one another. Loving one another. This is my commandment, he said, that you love one another as I love you. And he talked to them about humility, about serving one another, taking the lower place, not the higher place. And then John 14, you're familiar with that, when they were so down, so troubled, so brokenhearted when he talked about leaving them. And he said to them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And in that chapter, he comforted them. It's a chapter of comfort. You remember Brother Bob's message on it a few months ago. It's the chapter of comfort for God's people. And also he talked to them in that chapter about going to prepare a place for them. He's not talking about building a city. He's talking about preparing a righteousness and a atonement and reconciliation and preparing heaven, opening the way for them into the presence of the Father. That's the preparation. And then he talked about in John 15, you remember how it began with, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And how he spoke to them about he and the Father are one, I and my Father are one. And he said, I and my sheep are one. As the branch and the vine are one, you and I are one. The Father and the Son are one, and the Son and his people are one. And then in John 16, he said, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I won't leave you comfortless. I'll send you another comforter. The Holy Spirit will come. And he'll convince the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. And he'll be your teacher. He'll not speak of himself. But what he hears, he'll speak. And he'll not glorify himself. The Holy Spirit will take the things of mine and reveal them unto you. He'll open for you all the things you need to know in your faith, in your Christian experience, in your walk, in your ministry, in your troubles, in your sorrows, in your mountain experiences, or in your valley. He'll teach you. And then I would like for you to look at John 16, the last few verses, and here he sums it up. After instructing these disciples and talking to them about these monumental things, he said, verse 28, John 16, I came forth from the Father. I'm come into the world. Again, I leave the world, and I go to the Father. And his disciples said unto him, lo, now thou speakest plainly, and speakest no parable, proverb, parable. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee or question thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Do you really believe? Behold, here's a summary. Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, and is now come. That you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. He's got to walk that wine press alone. No matter the well-meaning words of Peter or the boasting words of Peter or any of the other disciples, he's got to go there alone. He said, you'll leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father's with me. And these things have I spoken unto you. See, these things have I spoken unto you. And please take those four chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16. Read them. We need them. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. in the world, you shall have trouble. But you be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. These words spake Jesus. Then it says, and then he lifted his eyes to heaven. And what he says after he lifted his eyes to heaven is recorded and was just read to us by Brother Coffey. This is the prayer of our great high priest. This is the eternal Son speaking to the eternal Father about the eternal covenant. And he tells us in verse 9 for whom he prays. I pray for them. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I pray for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. I pray for them. This is an effectual prayer. You see, Christ the Lord can never ask anything that's not granted. Because he said, I always do those things that please my Father. I always ask those things that are in the will of my Father. So he can't pray for something that does not happen. Can't do it. Not for Christ. I pray for them. I don't pray for the world. I pray for them which thou hast given me. They're thine. And this, the language of this prayer is simple. We can learn something of prayer by reading the prayers of men of God, especially the Son of God. And yet, the language is simple, and yet it's, as Bob said, too profound for human mind. You know, Paul said, I went to the third heaven, and I heard things that it's not possible for man to utter. And when we read this prayer, and when I talk about it tonight, this prayer, the purest, the sweetest, the strongest outpouring of love and devotion and submission to the Father and love for a people recorded anywhere in the Word of God. And to properly read it and properly speak from it is to listen in on heaven. That's what we're doing. That's the way you felt when you were reading. It's like listening in on heaven. And I can't, in any one sermon or dozens of sermons or a lifetime of sermons, cover even one verse of this awesome, awesome prayer. But tonight, I want to look at a few statements which our Lord makes in this prayer. And each statement begins with these two words. Each one of them. I have. I have. He speaks to the Father about what he has done. What I have done. Is not this our task? To tell our generation who he is and what he has done? And why he did it? Is not that our task? Isn't that, Paul, what we were talking about should come from this pulpit? Every time a man stands here to preach, to talk about Christ, we preach Christ. Who he is, what he did, why he did it. And that's what he does in this prayer. He says six or seven times, I have, I have, I have. That's my task, to tell you what he did. But I'll tell you this, much better to hear it from him than from me. Much better. So let's. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal. This is it. Not how long it lasts. It's the quality of it, the nature of it. Here it is. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now watch this next statement. I have glorified thee on this earth. I have glorified thee. Here's a man born of a woman, taken one night from a mother's womb, and washed and swaddled and salted and put in a blanket and given to the mother to nurse her breast. A man born of a woman who looks into heaven and says to the Father, I have glorified thee. I have glorified thee. I have loved thee perfectly. I have honored thee perfectly. I have obeyed thee perfectly. I have served thee perfectly. I have done it. You say he's always done that throughout eternity. He says, I've done it on this earth. I have glorified thee on this earth, on this sinful earth, surrounded by sinful people. On this earth where none have honored thee ever, ever, ever. No one has ever honored thee. In heaven they honor thee. In the temple of God, every creature glorifies him, the scripture says. But here, none righteous. None that understandeth. None that seeketh after God. None good, no, not one. But I have glorified thee. Thank God he did. This is what man was created to do. This is what God made man to do. Glorify him. This is the chief end. As our catechisms say, the chief end of man is to glorify God. And no man's ever done it but one. Adam fell. He failed and fell. And the whole world was plunged into darkness and death and sin and rebellion and wickedness. And no man has ever glorified God. By one man, sin entered this world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. But God sent a man, the second Adam, in the same flesh. And he says, I glorified thee. And he did that for you and me. And in him, I can say, I've glorified God. Isn't that something? All right, secondly, in verse 4, he says, I have glorified thee on this earth. There's the key. On this earth, I've glorified thee. That's where it had to be done. Righteousness and redemption could not be worked out in heaven and brought down here. He had to do it in the flesh, tempted in all points as we are. And then he said, I finished the work you gave me to do. Now, I believe I can shed some light on this with three questions. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Whose work is it? It's the Father's work. I have finished the work you gave me to do. The Father's word. What's the first words Jesus Christ, first recorded words? Now, if all that our Lord said and all that our Lord did were put in books, no, the world wouldn't hold the books. That's what Scripture said. But what's the first recorded words of Jesus of Nazareth on this earth? First words we have recorded in this Bible that he spoke on this earth. What they were?
I must be about my Father's business.
That's what he came to do, his Father's business. I finished the work you gave me to do. I came down from heaven, he said, not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. So whose work is it? The Father's work. What is the work? What is the work? Well, when he was born, the angel said to Joseph, don't be afraid to take unto thee Mary to be thy wife. For that holy thing which is conceived in her is the Son of God. And you call his name Jesus. That's his name of humiliation, his earthly name. You call his name Jesus because He'll save his people from their sins. That's what he came to do. To save his people from their sins. This is a fateful saying, Paul said, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ is coming to the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief. The Son of Man's come to seek and save the lost. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, to make his soul an offering for sin, to make him the just suffering for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That's the work. Whose work is it? Father's work. What is the work? To perfect a righteousness and an atonement, to honor the law, satisfy the justice of God, and take a covenant people home. Third question. Did he do it?
I finished the work he gave me to do.
But isn't there something for me to do?
I finished the work you gave me to do.
Last words he spoke on this earth. What were they? As a man, he spoke some words after he was the glorified Lord who rose from the grave, but in the flesh, the first words he said, recorded, I must be about my Father's business. The last words before he gave up the ghost, it's finished. 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 He didn't try to save anybody. He saved them. It's finished. The hymn writer said, it's finished. Oh, what pleasure do these glorious words afford. Heavenly blessings without measure flow to us through Christ our Lord. Finished. All the types and shadows of the ceremonial law. Finished. All that God promised. And saints from this all comfort draw. Verse 6. I have glorified thee on this earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men thou gavest me. My friends, God has revealed himself in creation. I read Psalm 8. When I consider the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, the things thou hast made, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. God has revealed himself in creation. He's revealed himself in providence. He talked to Job about, have you entered the treasures of the snow? The hail, the rain. Do you speak and the lightning comes and goes? Have you entered into these things? God Almighty, in creation, in providence, in judgment, in law, has revealed his wisdom, his power, his glory, his majesty. These things are open for any human being to see who has eyes to see. You can hear the voice of God in the wind, in the rain, in the song of a bird, in the bleating of a sheep. And you can see the hand of God in the blooming of a rose, in the birth of an animal, how it's known to take care of its young, how the birds build the nest. See God in everything. But how are we to know the heart of God? How are we to know the love of God? How are we to know the mercy of God? How are we to know the will of God? How are we to know the purpose of God? The Scripture says no man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him. That's the reason there's so much hypocrisy and deceit, because men say one thing with their lips and think another thing in their heart. They deceive one another. They don't speak the truth. So you can't tell a man's real nature by his actions. He'll have to tell you what's in him. Spirit of man. No man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So how are we going to know the heart of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the will of God, the purpose of God? Christ said, I have manifested thy name. I reveal to them who you are. Philip said, well, show us the Father. He said, Philip, have I been with you this long and you don't know me? He that has seen me, seen the Father. That's right. He that has seen me has seen the Father. John 1:18, let me turn over there and read it to you. You just listen. No man has seen God. We see his wisdom, power, majesty, greatness, strength, sovereignty, but not the heart of God, not the will of God. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Before Christ came into this world, now listen to me, before he came into this world, the Lord God revealed his nature and character to Moses and Abraham, some of these men. He revealed his nature and character, mercy and grace in his name, Jehovah. Jehovah, God my Savior. They knew about Jehovah, God my Savior. He called himself Jehovah Jireh in Genesis 22 to Abraham. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord will see to it. His mercy, his grace, his kindness, his love. When Abraham was going up that altar, his son said, Father, where's the lamb? My son, Jehovah Jireh, will provide. That's right. Long before Christ came. Then he called himself Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He forgiveth all thy sins, healeth all thy diseases. Psalms, way back there. Jehovah Rapha, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Then he called himself Jehovah Nissa, the banner. Lord is our banner. Under his banner we are owned and kept. We're the kingdom people, the kingdom of the Son of his love. He's the banner. His banner over me was love, Solomon said. This is before Christ came. His name, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah my righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Is God at peace? He said he was. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Where a believer is, the Lord is there. I'll never leave you. Jehovah Reah, David said, he's my shepherd. And yet all of this was in a name. In a name. Jehovah Reah, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Jehovah Nissa, the Lord our banner. And when Christ came, every one of these names was put in a person. And his tenderness and love and grace. That's right. He went there to the well and a woman came that had been married 5 times. Great sinner. And our Lord said, if you knew who was speaking to you, ask me and I'd give you living water. Then he walked under a tree in Jericho and he looked up and there was a tax collector, a hated man, a publican. And our Lord looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to your house. God's going to your house. And Zacchaeus said, Lord, half my goods I give to feed the poor. If I wronged anybody, I restore it fourfold. God did something for him. Our Lord walked through Jericho to the outskirts, and there a blind man cried, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord stood still. The whole Roman Empire couldn't make him stand still. Every enemy of the world couldn't make him stand still. All of the Satan said, if you be the Son of God, worship me and I give you the kingdoms of the world. And he wouldn't stand still. But the broken-hearted cry of a needy sinner stopped him. he looked over at him and said, tell him to come over here. And that blind man threw his robe off, his blanket, and staggered towards the voice that called him. And the Lord Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may see. So be it. Going through the word, see him come to the tomb. There was a man crazy, out of his mind, cutting himself with stone. No man could tame him, but my Lord tamed him. Gave him grace, 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 all the way through. I have manifested your name, Jehovah, Savior, to these fellows. Eternal life is to know God. Not to know there is a God. Not to know there is a God. To know Him in the character of His Son. He that has seen me hath seen my Father. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life. And then in verse 8, He says, I have given them the words that you gave me. I've given them the words. Back in Deuteronomy, Moses said God's going to send a prophet. God's going to send a prophet, and him you shall hear. Him you shall hear. And Christ is that prophet. And when he came, he said, I have given them thy word. It's a whole lot more than just preaching to them. I can't do what he did here. He said, I have given them thy word. People all the way through the past had preached the word. Noah preached the word 120 years and nobody heard it. Nobody. He was a preacher of righteousness. Nobody heard it. So our Lord is not saying here, I preached the word to him. He preached the word to many. But I'll tell you what he's saying. I want you to turn to this. Luke 24 will tell you what he's saying. Luke 24. Now listen to this. Luke 24. Verse 44. And he said to them, listen, these are the words I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Same words. That all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Remember what you said about that?
Just a while ago. Thank God you've given us an understanding. The Son of God hath come. Listen. 1 John 5:20, the Son of God hath come and given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. He said, given them thy word.
And listen to the results. Verse 8, I have given them the words. I've put it in their hearts. I've opened their eyes. I've opened their ears. And they know two things. Listen. I've given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them. And they have known two things. I came from thee. I came from thee. Jesus Christ is not the son of a Joseph. He's not the son of a human being. He's the son of God. And being born of a woman, he's the son of man. But I know he came from God. A child is born, but a son was given. They know that I came from thee. Listen. And they believe that you sent me. You sent me on a mission. You sent me with a work. You sent me with a task. You sent me to redeem sinners. And they know it. And I pray for them. I don't pray for the world. Because this world is not the friend of God. Just those who've had their hearts open. And look at verse 12. And while I was with them in the world, he's going back to the Father, and I kept them. I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. I have kept. My friends, I know people, listen to me, get religion and leave it after a while. They get a feeling and lose it after a while. They learn some doctrine and grow weary of it after a while. This is no new thing. This was prevalent in the days of the apostles. When our Lord spoke in John chapter 6, there were 5,000 people there to hear him. John 6, verse 66. And he told who he is, his sovereignty and his power and his glory and what he came to do. And it said, and from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And he turned to the 12 and he said, you want to go with them? Will you also go away? Will you go away? I preached a sermon one time on, will you go away? Will you? By God's grace, I don't plan to go away. I found life, love, truth, and hope. But many do. Will you go away? They said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and assure you're the Son of God. And our Lord said, blessed are you. Blessed are your eyes, they see, and your ears, they hear. And Demas, Paul said, Demas left me. Why'd he leave you, Paul? He loved the world, and he left me. 1 John 2, John says, they went out from us. I tell you why they went out. They never were of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained with us, because he said here, I kept them. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, Judas, that the scripture may be fulfilled, whereunto he was appointed. Our Lord said, I know my sheep. I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. My Father gave them me, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. I've kept them. Now watch verse 18. I have. Now listen. As thou hast sent me into this world, even so have I also sent them into this world. Now you, everybody, Brother Muse used to say, don't move a hand nor a hair. Now you listen to me. Listening in on heaven, he says, Father, I've manifested your name to them. I've given them your word. I've kept them. And as you sent me down here into this world, even so I've sent them. Now, false religion sends its disciples into monasteries, separates them from the world. False religion sends its women into nunneries, separates them, dresses them different, shuts them off in a cave. False religion puts its people in communes and cults and caves, and secret societies. False religion puts its children in schools for Christians only. Our Lord said, I've sent them into the world. A light is not supposed to be put in a closet. It's supposed to be put on a candlestick. Salt is not worth anything if you don't put it on the meat. So he says, I've sent them into the world. And in that world, they'll sin. But I'll forgive them. I'll keep them. And in that world, they'll work with people and be associated with enemies of the gospel. But I'll separate them. I'll deliver them. In that world, they'll be tempted and tried on every hand. But I'll give them grace. I'll give them strength. In that world, they'll have sorrow and broken hearts. They'll be married and have children. And Jacob said, when I bereaved of my children, I'm bereaved like no other time. They'll have sorrow, but I'll comfort them. And in that world, they'll suffer pain and agony and embarrassment and conflict. But the God of all grace, after they've suffered a while, I'll perfect them, establish them, strengthen them, and settle them. And in that world, there'll be witnesses. And they'll suffer many things, even to bonds, Paul said. But the Word of God's not bound. And I suffer all these things for the elect's sake, that they may come to know Christ. You sent me into the world to save a people. As you sent me, I send them. And you're a witness. Wherever you are, whomever you encounter in your home, in your schools, on the street, on the job, you never know when you're going to run into a sheep. And if you're up there in a cave somewhere rejoicing over your salvation and your doctrine, you'd never meet that sheep. That's right. Kept you 30 years in that school over there. Ruling the unruly. But you crossed the path. Crossed the path. On you men on your job, you crossed the path of a believer, of a child of God. Sends you into the world. No, it's not a nice world, but he said back here in verse, listen, back here in verse 15, I don't pray that you'll take them out of the world. I don't pray you take them out of the world. That defeats the purpose for which I've sent them into the world. But I pray this, keep them from the evil one, from Satan. I'll keep them. I send them in. You get that? I send them into the world. And you girls that are down there in the hospital nursing, you're going to run into some people. You're a witness. Every believer is a preacher. I'm not the only preacher. We'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Every believer is a preacher. Every believer is a missionary. Every believer is a witness. Every believer is a son of God with a message and with a mission and with a course to finish. And don't run hide somewhere. But it gets tough, preacher. Every preacher ought to have to work for a living a little while so he'll understand his people. That's right. Every preacher ought to join the army or join the navy and get in there with the messiest mess that ever lived. That's right. And work in a steel mill and work in a refinery or work somewhere where he has to earn his keep, where he has to take the, you all fill it in, from all these people and listen to, ought to. Work in an office. Work for a woman. Ever have to work for, they're the toughest bosses that ever lived. Good for them. And then you'll know what God's people go through. I don't ask you to take them out of the world. But I ask you to keep them from the evil one, because you sent me down here and he was harassed and humiliated and spat upon and hated and despised and crucified. They hadn't crucified me yet. You either. That's right. We've got a task. And that's when Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. And it's a fight too. But I didn't quit. I fought a good fight. And I kept the faith. And it's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. All right, here's the last thing now. And I'll close. Verse 22. He said, verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them. That they may be one, even as we are. David wrote in the Psalms, he'll give grace and glory. He'll give grace and glory. No glory without grace. And true grace leads to glory. I saw a bumper sticker. Darcy and I were really, honestly, led me to preach this message. It was that bumper sticker I saw down at the hospital Monday. And I know the dear old man driving that truck. When he put that bumper sticker on his truck, I know exactly what he had in mind. This is what it said. I want us to be together in heaven. I want us to be together in heaven. I understand that. That's a justifiable human desire and emotion. He said, I want. And I guess the one reading it, I guess he wanted me and him to be together in heaven. And I do too. I want him to be there. And I want to be there. And maybe he meant he wanted him and his wife to be there. And I do too. I want Darcy to be there. I want to see Becky. Don't you? I want to be with you in heaven. I want to. I want to see every one of you there. But that won't get us there. My wanting it, my desiring it, willing it, won't do it. And I know, I understand what he means. It's justifiable human emotion. But that's not the way you go there. You want me to read in this chapter the way? Look at verse 24. And he closes his prayer and he said, Father, I will. Oh, not my will, his will. Father, I will. And he's the only one who can will anything and have it done. I will that those whom thou hast given me, those that thou hast given me, out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue, listen, be with me. Now, it's not you and me, it's me and him. This dear man, I want us to be together in heaven. Well, if you're with him and I'm with him, we'll be together. But that's not the end, it's you and me. That's got nothing to do with it. It's you and him. Father, I tell you, if you're in this prayer, you'll be in heaven. But it's not heaven that he's talking. He said, with me. What did he say to the thief? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so here's the only one who can will you into heaven. Because he laid down his life for you. He died for you. He worked out a perfect righteousness. He finished the work the Father gave him to do on your behalf. So he can say, Father, I've finished the work now, and I will. He didn't say, thy will be done. He said, I will. And I'll tell you, he came to do the Father's will, and that makes it his will. I will that every one of those you gave me be with me where I am. Now, wait a minute. What part? That they may behold my glory. My glory. It's not seeing our loved ones, it's seeing him. And seeing him, we'll see them. But that his glory, that's uppermost. That's this whole thing. He said, you have not because you ask not. And you ask amiss that you may consume it on your lust. Lord, let me behold your glory. God has revealed to us his glory in the face of Christ Jesus. Now listen, here's the foundation of the whole thing. Because you love me before the foundation of the world. That's why God saved you and me. We were in Christ. And loving Christ, he loved us. Father, in summing this, bringing this prayer to a close, all he's prayed for, I will that those that you gave me every one of them, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory.